idea for a purpose, because they're not really...
Certainly they are here for purpose. When I, as a living thing, an organism, you come towards the end of your life, supposing you do come to the end of your life and you are not able to do things for yourself, that requires that as long as you have breath in your body, that somebody has to do something for you. Is that right? Is that right?
Yes.
So, in doing for these people, those that are doing the doings are learning something from the experience. The soul is reaching the end of its journey, its adventure. It is preparing itself to return home to spirit. And part of that preparation is letting go of life and giving over to life. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the soul is letting go of life, and in doing so, hands over to life and says, I can't do it anymore. You need to do it for I. You need to help I. I can't do it anymore. And the soul may have been, when it was able to integrate itself with the body well and was at the height of its life, may have been a very strong, independent sort of person. The ego self may have been very powerful in its I am, you know. It may be that its ego self did not accept help from other peoples very well or very readily. That it was mayhap sometimes often one that would give much help. However, did not know how to receive, never learned in the life how to receive. So, when the old person comes into the life, sometimes they are very grumpy old persons, and they are grumpy because they cannot do what they used to do. They don't like being receiving from other people in this life. And so they get grumpy about it.
They lose the control. Sense of control. Or being in control.
That's right. And control is not good. Mm-hmm. When you have control, beware. You will always lose it somewhere along the line of your life. Somewhere it is going to go out of control, this thing, whatever it is you believe you have control of. So beware. It is much better to learn very early in your life to let go of control and practice management. Management has flexible boundaries. Control has rigid boundaries. Learn management. Learn how to receive.
To say, this is my child, this is my car, this is my land. The word mine, is it?
This is the ego self saying, this is mine. When the soul comes into manifestation within the physicality and the mind, and has management over the ego self, then the words that will come forth will be, this is a child of life. It may be that saying my child means only to that ego self, that it came from the body. It may be that it is, supposing it has not come from that body, it has come from somebody else's body and you have made it yours. I'm not quite ready for this, will you this way?
Doctor.
Is that right? So this is it. Then it has come of your love. This child has come of your love. It becomes my child. It's my child, my love, my expression of love and the physicality. And yet there is a knowing that possession is not part of that my, that expression of my. However, what I was saying about the old peoples is that when you encounter the old peoples that are not grumpy, that they are gracious in their old age, it is because they are able to receive and they can teach a lesson to everybody about how to receive in life. So the lessons continue right to the last breath of life. Isn't that wonderful? The adventure goes on to the last breath and the soul learns all the way.
And what do you think of euthanasia?
Well, we have speak about this before, have we not? About having the taking of the life.
So that would be considered like suicide, really?
I have said to you, to peoples, that this is one of those subjects that is very much like your subject of whether to take the child from the womb or not. Every question that comes to challenge humanity about their values, the ethics, the spirituality, and so on and so forth, come for a purpose. So that were you to say now to yourself, I understand that the soul becomes one with the physical expression of the new life from the moment of conception. Suppose you understand that, accept it, know it in all your being, and have a conscious understanding and awareness and empathy for that. Then, no matter what happens in your life, you would not take the life of a child that has just been conceived. You know? However, supposing that you don't have that knowledge, you don't have that knowing, then it may be that you will take the life of the child that has just been conceived. Does this make it right for someone to sit in judgment of you for taking the life? Do you have the right to sit in judgment of that person? No, you do not. That is not your place to do. Every one of you will act according to whatever your deepest principles are, your knowledge of your spirit, that your spirit tells you is right or wrong. And when somebody wants to finish the life before time, it is still taking the life before time. However, in this manner in which you are speaking, which is for that soul to say, I don't want to be in this life any longer because I am sick and infirm and I'm going to get worse and I don't want to be here, they may feel that they have a right to bring their life to a conclusion. Now this matter of taking the life is something that has been present throughout your history of humankind. It is not new. In some tribes you can take your life in this way and it is part of your culture. It is acceptable to do this in your, among your people. There is not a concept that were you to take your life before time that you are transgressing the law of the cosmos, because there is not the understanding. So you don't sit in judgment and say, well, they have been wrong, so they are doomed. When they return to spirit, they will find out for themselves the truth of it. They don't need you to tell them. Let them find out for themselves. When there is somebody that is in this way being, when they are very, very determined, their ego self is strong in its determination to complete this thing, then that is what they will do. And nothing that you say is going to stop them. So you have to accept that sometimes souls of people around you are going to do this thing. Nothing you say or do is going to stop them. They have to find out the truth for themselves when they go back home. You don't tell them, you can't do it because it's wrong. You are breaking cosmic law. They don't care. Because for them, what is paramount for them is that they do not perceive in their life that there is anything of value in their life. When you can assist them, may help sometimes to find what their life is valuable for, even their pain and suffering may have a value, and how that is a gift. Their presence in life is a gift to those around. And you can teach the people around them about the gift that this person is giving to them. Then you stand some chance of turning them away from their decision. And that raises the question, do you have the right to change them away from their decision? Is that right? When you work for the light, you always work for oneness, you always work to bring healing energies to people. When you are working with somebody who is going to die anyway, then it is good to be able to bring healing energies to help their transition in whatever way it needs to happen. So you use whatever oneness gives to you to help them, to ease them onto the next part of their journey. So this thing about euthanasia is a moral and a spiritual challenge to humankind, for you to look at it, not to sit in judgment of others, to look at yourself and to look at what you would like for yourself in your life, to know your soul, to know your boundaries, to know what you would like to do in your life, and know that were you to take this action, that you will find out the truth when you go home anyway. And even though you may not take that action, you will still find out the truth when you go home anyway.
We're presented with this challenge every time we get an old sick animal. I am presented with this challenge.
That is right, and it seems to be that there is one law for humankind and another law for creatures. Is that right? Mm. And just as you have creatures that you do this for, there are plants and things that you do. Trees, bending people. You do this for them also. When they are sick and they are going to die, and they may have are going to be dangerous in their demise to other things, then very often you remove them, do you not? Mm. However, in nature, you look at nature. Nature does not interfere. Nature lets it go in a pattern of life, of cycles. Something gets old or gets injured and cannot manage any longer. What happens?
They're often cast out of a group, aren't they?
That is right. And very often
they fall behind and they starve to death and they die.
That's right. That is nature. For your minds, for your sensitivities, your sensibilities, you find this painful. Especially when you have engaged in a bond of communion with the little wolves, or the little tigers, or the little rodents, or the birds, or some such thing. You have engaged your emotions, you have engaged your heart, and you have placed on those creatures your some of your personality, and some of what is you has gone to them. And some of what is them has come to you. You have this exchange. You have a bonding together. Now, the nature of creatures and plants and so on and so forth, they come to you to teach you certain lessons, to do certain things with you in this life. They do not make war on each other. They do not say, I will only love you when I feel like it. They give you love without condition. They stay with you, even though they may be able to go somewhere else and go out of your life. And yet they remain with you. How is this? Because they have come to bring something into your life. Now, creatures and life around you in nature is in a different... I have not the word for this. It is different,
different
to humankind. It is not environment. It is...
Category.
Well, that is too much like putting it into a box. They are...
different energy.
More unselfish. Much unselfish, you know? Much unselfish.
Okay.
Very often humankinds give love to each other and it has conditions attached to it. It is selfish. You know? Selfish, self-centered, and so on. What was that?
Self-oriented.
That is right. Whereas with the creatures and with plants and so on and so forth, they are not this way. They may not war upon each other. Trees do not fight trees.
Cats do.
Cats fight cats, huh?
But however, that's governed by their nature.
Yeah.
Looking at nature, they're not making war on each other.
Sound the same thing.
To kill all the time. They are usually to hold territory, to hold their wives, to make babies, so on and so forth.
Protection. Well, that's what drives the humankind as well, isn't it? That same drive.
That is right. However, I come back to that in a moment. That is very accurate. However, there is another element to humankind that is not there with animal kind. You know?
The enjoyment of it.
The enjoyment of hurting other things for the sake of it. This is what separates humankind from the beasts and the plants and so on. Humankind enjoy things for the enjoyment of it, whatever it is. Animals, creatures, enjoy things because it is their nature and it is part of their life. And giving love to you is an added thing that they do. They trust and come to love you. They give you all of themselves without reservation. No?
Plank so of food.
Considering a ginger one.
Yeah, plate of food. It's not much to ask. It was very demanding.
However, because of this, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to honor what they cannot do by nature.
We won't let them do, like, bring mice into the house.
No rabbits.
Sorry,
that's right. You have a responsibility to look after them when they are sick, when they are unwell, when they are getting to a point of being very old. And when they reach a point where their sickness is so much that they are suffering, then you cannot, because of your emotional bond, leave them to pass from the life like they would in nature, because of your emotional bond. So you take them and have them put to the long sleep. And the creature understands what you're doing and is grateful for your intervention at this point. They know and they will say thank you to you. The creature that is ready will tell you when it is ready to go. It will ask you, please, I need to leave you now. I have completed the task I came to do with you. It is time now. This is one of the last lessons I can teach you, how to let I go, how to do this thing peacefully without prolonging the pain and suffering any longer. I need to go. Were I living with other peoples of my kind in the wild, I would be long ago not here, because my peoples would have put I out of the group, or would have, I would not have been able to feed the self. There are exceptions to this, I'll come to that in a moment. So the difference is between human kinds and animal kinds and plant kinds is that you do it out of love, you do it because of the bond and because it is a natural thing. It's developed to be the natural thing because of your union with them. How many of you would honestly say that you are much loved friend and companion of life, like the little wolf or the little tiger or the little rodent, that were you to see it in great suffering and pain and so on and so forth, that you would not do something like this eventually. Some people do this thing because it is more convenient. That is not right, because sometimes they do it before the creature tells them that it is ready to go.
I have done that too. And at the time, you know, I had great justification for doing it. And mainly it was because of a very selfish reason that I could not do this thing anymore with this animal. Even though they weren't ready to go, I just couldn't manage it anymore myself.
So there was a lesson involved. So right to the last breath, the creature is teaching you a lesson. It is saying you something.
Lesson afterwards too, because then you've got to get rid of all the guilt and all that stuff as well.
That is right, it's everything else that goes with it. So there's so much that the creatures bring to you unselfishly, you know. There is much to ponder on, isn't it? Much to take into your being and to sort about inside you and to come to yourself with some idea of what is right for you and what is right for others. So you are right that humankind also are driven by these same things that you were saying before. However, you're also right when you say it is the enjoyment of some of these things that humankind do enjoy. Some humankind enjoy hurting other people's. Look to yourselves, look honestly into your being from childhood to now, and be truthful and answer the question within your own being: have you at any time or point of your life gained great pleasure from getting revenge on something or somebody?
Yes, I fully accept this responsibility. Yes, I have beaten my sisters to a pulp.
This is what being humankind is. You have all these things. Do we sit in judgment? No.
Thank you. I'm so pleased.
You will be your own judge and jury. You don't have to have anybody else do it for you. When you grow and you come out of this and you grow into your new lives, then you look back and you say, oh my goodness, perhaps the earth ought to have opened up and swallowed I up at that point. However, you will be very glad it did not, because here you are looking back and realizing the things that you didn't do so well. You have learned something from it, so that is good. Then you can say thank you to your siblings for allowing you to learn so much, and ask them, please, would they also say thank you to you for teaching them many lessons of life, and then you're both free of each other's debts. Free of it. You gain forgiveness, that's right. Freedom is something that you gain when you let go of the burdens of guilt, of fear, and you have learned to say thank you for the lessons of life, so you have let go of hatred, animosity, need for vengeance, so on and so forth, for revenge, and you gain freedom with forgiveness. Forgiveness brings freedom. And yet freedom brings with it responsibilities. You then become part of a greater freedom. You become the responsibility of some other greater freedom. What is that? You gain freedom by giving your life and everything in it and so on and so forth to oneness. I have said this to you before. You gain forgiveness by saying thank you. You cannot gain forgiveness any other way. Somebody says to you, I have said or done something very terrible to you. I am very sorry. Will you forgive me? What do you say?
Yes, you're forgiven.
Yes, you're forgiven. What does that mean?
No, crap to you.
What does that mean?
From the heart, first. Well, it means that you hold no malice towards them, really.
How do you love
them.
How do you know that they have learned their lesson? How do you know they're not going to do it again? How do you know that they truly atone and are not just speaking words?
You want to know if they've asked forgiveness and forgive them, so you don't need to know that.
And then they come and do it once more?
You forgive them again.
Oh, I believe you wouldn't put yourself in the same position again.
Thank them for doing it. Allow so they can.
You would help your mother make the same mistake again by not allowing yourself to be in a position where it could happen.
What else? Keep going.
If you really forgive them, I think for some reason they won't do it again.
Is it because the individual doesn't have any attachment to that situation anymore? It's been completed and now they move on.
Yeah.
So they're no longer placing themselves in that situation.
Forgiveness is actually breaking the pattern of something.
That's right. When you forgive somebody something, how many of you have had something done unto you and somebody comes to you and says, will you forgive I'm sorry for this thing? And then, I don't know, how many moons later you are talking to somebody and you say, somebody such and such do this thing to I in this life at one time of the life. However, I have forgiven them. Have you done this?
Yes.
Then you have not truly forgiven him. Forgiveness comes by saying thank you. So for you to forgive them, they need to say thank you. They need to say thank you.
Well, they normally do, don't they? If you say, I forgive you.
When you say to them, what have you learned? Have you learned something from this? Did you gain something for yourself from this? Did you get a realization for yourself from this thing? And suppose they say to you, certainly. You can say, what did you learn for yourself? How did it help you in your life? And they can say what has helped them in their life. And then you can smile and say to them, that's good, I'm very happy you have learned that thing.
It happened to me a few times when people would say, I'm sorry, or, yeah, I forgive something. I would usually say to them, I wasn't offended, there is nothing to forgive. The only thing is you have to forgive yourself or say sorry to yourself.
How is that going to help them?
That's a good question.
When you encourage somebody to look at themselves, forgiveness is not the word. You say, I forgive. This is a word. It is an expression. It is, in part, it is an emotion of somebody has humbled themselves and now you have power and you are forgiving them. So you are, it is like the person has given, first of all they take your power, then they come to you to give it back, and in the exchange of saying the words, I forgive you, you are taking back your power and some of theirs as well. And they are left a little bit short. What I want you to understand is that forgiveness is not a word. Forgiveness is a happening. It is something that comes about as a natural result of an individual knowing what their action or deed has caused for themselves and others. What lessons they have learned from it, what things they have gain to enhance their lives and knowledge of themselves. Mayhap, I give you an example, somebody is indulging too much in substances that alter their minds, you know, whatever it may be. And while they are in this way of being, they start to say bad things about people. You know? People's around them. Mayhap they have a lot of anger and unrest inside them. So they say many, many bad things. And in doing this, there is a hurt created. And somebody says to this person, when they are not under the influence of these substances, do you realize that when you are under the influence of these substances, that you said this, and this about these peoples, and you have caused a lot of hurt to these peoples? And that person says, oh, perhaps I had better say I'm sorry. What the good is it for them to say they are sorry to these peoples when they are going to go and take mind-altering substances again and repeat the whole process all over again? It may have they're going to do it anyway. However, suppose somebody, one of those people, says, well, forgiveness is something that comes from realizations. What do you have learning from what you've done and say? Have you learned anything from it? Do you have anything that you feel you can change for your life out of this? Is the pain that you have inflicted on I and the suffering, is my suffering worth something? Have you learned something from it? And suppose they can say, yes, I have learned something. I learned that I am not good to be around mind-altering substances, and I have to do something in the life to make that different, then you can say that my suffering has been worthwhile. Thank you. And in saying the thank you comes the forgiveness. You don't have to say, I forgive. It happens. It is there. And even though the person may go away and attempt to hold to their resolution, it may be that their compulsion is too strong for them because of the pain they carry inside themselves, then you are not affected by it because you have truly forgiven, because it has come as a happening, not as a word from your mouth or your mind, you know? It is a happening. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes. Some people, when they need forgiveness, some people hug the person, go up and hug the person, don't they? That would be the same thing.
Yes, it's a thank you.
That is right. They will say thank you. I've learned something. Thank you.
For some people, when we do that, when we say we forget, then we should forget about it so that it doesn't really come up in a conversation later being told to someone else about that.
So you should
put it behind.
Listen.
Sorry.
You're sitting in judgment of yourself, you're hitting yourself with a big stick. So you are better
to forget.
To not use the word forgive as such, as a cure. You know? Don't be aware of when you use this word, in what context you're using it. Supposing somebody says to you, I'm going to come and see you at this time of your earth life, and something happens and they don't get there until much later, and they say to you, I'm very sorry, I'm late.
I killed myself earlier. Okay.
You can say to them, that's all right, I forgive you. And it is something they were saying for form, good form, is that right? And you are letting them know that you are comfortable with this thing. It is not something that has gone deep with you. However, when something goes very deep and somebody asks you for forgiveness, then you need to, my head, find out what they have learned from it. Certainly you can go on and say, well, I can forgive you. However, it would be the forgiveness will only happen when my suffering has been worth something to you. You know?
I'd rather just say to them, as I say, you come, someone come, let's say someone came to me and said, oh, I'm very sorry, I've come to ask your forgiveness. And I said to them, well, that's good because you really hurt me in what you did. I've actually done this, so how acceptable is that? I suppose if you do it, it has to be.
You can say that, certainly. However, you can also say, mayhap you have made some realization that your action, your word, your deed was not correct. And what is it about it that was not correct that you found the need to request forgiveness or why?
Usually it's opened up a conversation which
has
led to the
stuff. That is exactly right. And what I'm saying is that forgiveness is not just saying, I forgive you, goodbye. You know? It is, let us join together. Let us find out, let us, for a moment of time, come together as humankind and make a connection, because these little things